Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translated and with purport by His Evangelist A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Usually we have Bhagavad Gitas, if you like to chant along with the verses. Sorry? Oh, wonderful. But in case somebody has not such a good memory, he maybe likes to take the Bhagavad Gita. So it's chapter 11, the universal form, text 43. Pitasi lokasya characharasya. Pitasi lokasya characharasya. Tvamasya pujyascha guru gariyan. Tvamasya pujyascha guru gariyan. Matvatsamostyavyadhika kutonyo. Matvatsamostyavyadhika kutonyo. Lokatraye pya pratima prabhava. Lokatraye pya pratima prabhava. Pitasi lokasya characharasya. Tvamasya pujyascha guru gariyan. Matvatsamostya vyadhika kutonyo. Lokatraye pya pratima prabhava. Pitasi lokasya characharasya. Tvamasya pujyascha guru gariyan. Natvatsamostya vyadhika kutonyo. Lokatraye pya pratima prabhava. Pitasi lokasya characharasya. Tvamasya pujyascha guru gariyan. Natvatsamostya vyadhika kutonyo. Lokatraye pya pratima prabhava. Pitasi lokasya characharasya. Tvamasya pujyascha guru gariyan. Natvatsamostya vyadhika kutonyo. Lokatraye pya pratima prabhava. Pitasi lokasya characharasya. Tvamasya pujyascha guru gariyan. Natvatsamostya vyadhika kutonyo. Lokatraye pya pratima prabhava. Pita, the Father, I see, you are, Lokasya, of all the world. Chara, moving. Acharasya, and non-moving. Tvam, you are. Asya, of this. Pujyaha, worshipable. Cha, also. Guruhu, master. Kariyan, glorious. Na, never. Tvatsamaha, equal to you. Asti, there is. Abhyadikaha, greater. Kutaha, how is it possible? Anyaha, other. Lokatraye, in the three planetary systems. Api, also. Apratima prabhava, O immeasurable power. Translation in purport by Sivanke Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is greater than you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is worshipable as a father is worshipable for his son. He is the spiritual master because he originally gave the Vedic instructions to Brahma, and presently he is also instructing Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Therefore he is the original spiritual master, and any bona fide spiritual master at the present moment must be a descendant in the line of disciplic succession stemming from Krishna. Without being a representative of Krishna, one cannot become a teacher or a spiritual master of transcendental subject matter. The Lord is being paid obeisances in all respects. He is of immeasurable greatness. No one can be greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, because no one is equal to or higher than Krishna within any manifestation, spiritual or material. Everyone is below him. No one can excel him. This is stated in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. Natasya kayam karanam cha vidyate natatsamas cha vyatikas cha drishyate. The Supreme Lord Krishna has senses and a body like the ordinary man. But for him, there is no difference between his senses, his body, his mind and himself. Foolish persons who do not perfectly know him say that Krishna is different from his soul, mind, heart, and everything else. Krishna is absolute, therefore his activities and potencies are supreme. It is also stated that although he does not have senses like ours, he can perform all sensory activities. Therefore his senses are neither imperfect nor limited. No one can be greater than him. Oh, sorry. That's a problem with the computer. No one can be greater than him. No one can be equal to him. And everyone is lower than him. The knowledge, strength, and activities of the Supreme Personality are all transcendental. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Janma kama chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyakvadeham punajama naiti imamiti sojuna. Whoever knows Krishna's transcendental body, activities, and perfection, after quitting his body, returns to him and doesn't come back again to this miserable world. Therefore, one should know that Krishna's activities are different from others. The best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna. That will make one perfect. It is also stated that there is no one who is master of Krishna. Everyone is his servant. The Chaitanya Charitamrita confirms, Ekali Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Vritya. Only Krishna is God, and everyone else is his servant. Everyone is complying with his order. There is no one who can deny his order. Everyone is acting according to his direction, being under his superintendence. As stated in Brahma Sanghita, he is the cause of all causes. Again the verse. Pitasi lokasya characharasya tvamasya pujasya guru gariyan natvat samostya vyadikakutonyo lokatrayepya paratima prabhava. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is greater than you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? So Hare Krishna, thank you very much for coming, for giving me your association. And I want to ask everybody to kindly wish me well so that I may be able to serve you and my Guru Maharaj and Bhagavad Gita nicely. So in the translation of this verse, I noticed that Srila Prabhupada, he translates that nor can anyone be one with you. I don't know, but I didn't find this in the word by word translation. So therefore I want to address this. Because this is actually Srila Prabhupada's costless mercy, right? That he is clarifying certain aspects of the philosophy that might otherwise be bewildering or confusing for us, so that, you know, for persons who are still on the material platform, even though maybe theoretically having knowledge of Brahman or, you know, of Krishna even, but still not being free from all these different kinds of upadis or names and identifications. As Srila Prabhupada also addresses this issue in the purport to this text, one naturally concludes that others must be of the same quality as I am. Right? Because this is my frame of reference. And so, the people in general who are not believing in Krishna as the Supreme Lord, or in God in general, they may find it difficult. And Srila Prabhupada very often addresses this issue also in his classes or morning walks. And he says that Krishna... Anyway, the point that I want to say is that we have a certain perspective on things, we think that naturally others must also perceive the things the same way, right? Because our body is very limited and we just have experience of other bodies also being very limited, and therefore we cannot understand how there should be one body which is the source of boundless power, or as is in this verse is expressed, immeasurable power. This is a concept that doesn't fit, right, in the bodily identification. So therefore it is important, as Srila Prabhupada also says in the comment to this verse, in the purport, that one needs to approach the bona fide spiritual master in order to understand the subject matters. We are really lucky because we can be here, sheltered from Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, Lord Chaitanya's movement, and sheltered by other devotees so that we can discuss these things. And Srila Prabhupada in the Sri Isha Upanishad in one purport, he actually says that this is the purpose why ISKCON opened so many temples, right? At least one of the purposes is to give facilities to people in general, to come here and associate with the devotees, to serve the Lord, to, you know, see the Lord on the altar, to take prasadam, to engage in the lilas of the Lord, so to say, you know, in Sankirtan Yakya, by going out, chanting together the holy names in the street, or, you know, doing something for the Lord. And in this way, one can gradually come to understand the real nature of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada quotes this word from Srimad Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Jamma kama chame devyam evam nyavetitat vatahat yagvadeham puna jamma naiti maamiti sojuna. So this verse basically says that whoever knows my transcendental activities and appearance in truth, tatvataha, he does not need to come back again into this world, O Arjuna. So this is, in other words, this might be translated that when we have an experience of Krishna's being spiritual, right, of Krishna's form, activities, name, you know, of Krishna's prasadam, maybe even, you know, in the beginning stages. But if we have some spiritual understanding, we can at least theoretically, Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, accept that Krishna might be God, then this is already quite a good ground. Because we are understanding, okay, my knowledge is very limited, my frame of reference is very limited, but theoretically I accept there might be something higher, something bigger than me, right? And this is actually the required minimum amount of humility, right? That we understand, actually, yes, we don't know anything. We can also see this with other philosophers. For example, Socrates, he was also a self-realized person, but basically he realized the Brahman. Let's say that he's not the body. He did not yet realize that, okay, you know, there's some God and I'm the servant, but at least, you know, already he realized that he is not the body, something I would like to also realize. I'm still not yet there, even though we are studying these scriptures, right, continuously for decades and, you know, many years and, you know, in association of the devotees. But Socrates already understood this point, and therefore he didn't mind drink the cup of poison that the government representatives, the Senate, presented to him. So he didn't care. And he was actually also consoling his disciples, who were kind of agitated, you know. One of his disciples said, but then what should we do with you afterwards, you know, when you drink that cup, you know. And he said that, first of all, you have to catch me. So this is very indicative of the point that actually he realized that he is not this body, right? Because when we look in the mirror, who do we think we see? Yeah, we see the body, right? But are we the body? No. When a person is dying, then the body is still there, the corpse, right? But where's the person? So this is actually one of the points we can maybe not often enough stress and then try to work to attain this platform of consciousness by actually adhering to the principles of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada in Purport says the best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna. That will make one perfect. And actually in one of the previous verses of this chapter, 11.34, Arjuna just, you know, gets consoled by Krishna, who's saying that, see, anyway, all these great soldiers, Karna, Bhishma, Drona, they're anyway already dead. You can just be the instrument, you know. It's not about you. You are not the doer, in other words. But still, Krishna takes pleasure in giving the glory to his devotees, and rather than, you know, doing his business himself, and, you know, it's not so special. Krishna actually enjoys to glorify his devotees. And now here, in these verses, we hear how Arjuna is offering prayers to Krishna, to Lord Krishna. And he is actually following the basic principles. First of all, to praise the Lord, right? And then later in the end, to ask some favor of him. It's not that he immediately says, oh yeah, my Lord, please give me a good wife and give me a nice comfortable home and a nice job so I have sufficient income, and please also, you know, keep my health good and maybe also the health of my wife, or, you know. It's not exactly that kind of prayer. But first of all, Krishna actually glorifies, and Arjuna glorifies Krishna. And particularly in these verses, when Krishna, Lord Krishna, is still revealing his universal form and did not yet assume his four-armed or two-armed form, we can see that the overall rasa in which Arjuna right now is one of wonder, amazement, fear, and is much more respectful than the friendship that they previously had. And in the last class, I was explaining a little bit that actually the acharyas, they explain that in Krishna Loka, there are basically four dominant rasas. This is a Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya rasa. But the neutral rasa is not actually there. And this is quite interesting, I find. And then some of the acharyas, they say that because this actually is a lower form of worship, you know. Like in the Vaikuntha sphere or atmosphere, there's more a formal kind of attitude between the devotee and the Lord. Is also is 100% self-realized and perfect, but still the attitude of loving exchange between the devotees is much more formal. Even between Lakshmiji and Narayan, there's still this formal aspect, right? And also the friendship is of a different kind of quality there, even though it's also there. But in general, it's more this attitude of awe and reverence. And here we can see how Arjuna addresses Lord Sri Krishna as father of this complete cosmic manifestation, worshipable chief, supreme spiritual master, nobody is greater or equal to you. So these are all things which show that Arjuna acknowledges this supreme position of the Lord and the opulence of knowledge that he has. So this is very natural, because all the rasas, according to acharyas, the higher, the smaller, the lower rasas are included in the higher ones. So also in Arjuna's normal constitutional rasa of friendship, this neutral rasa of awe and reverence is also there. But it is kind of shrunken. It's still there, but it's somehow not present right now, right? So therefore, the Lord actually, he much more likes when the devotee become his superior, you know. Even though Srila Prabhupada explains here, and also in the verse, Arjuna explains that nobody can be higher than the Lord. But still, the Lord, due to his, you know, own causeless desire, and I don't know, joy, he likes to be chastised in a sulky mood from his friends, or, you know, by Mother Yashoda being bound to the wooden grinding mortar that we had recently, Kartik month. So, but we can only get there by first of all accepting this principle of Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations. If you don't follow and chanting Hare Krishna regularly 16 rounds, then we still we don't get the real taste for Krishna consciousness, right? We cannot break through, and we just struggle with our mind and senses. It's very difficult. We may get some taste already, but this taste may not be as steady. So it may be like a roller coaster a little bit. Sometimes, you know, we have this peak experiences, then, you know, crash down again to the valley. And this usually happens when we somehow or other either not properly following the process, or maybe also another thing, I don't know if you also observed it in your own life, but in my life it's like that. If somehow or other circumstances are like this, that, and also my own inability to balance my life properly, then I also experience these things, right? Sometimes we have to work more for some reasons, you know, we don't have enough time for recreation or social interrelations. And then also it's, you know, these upheavals of the roller coaster and the valleys. Do you also experience that? Yeah. Yeah, so... But anyway, this is not so important. More important is that we somehow or other stay in touch with the Supreme Lord through rendering Him service. And we can start the best kind of service, actually. There's one verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Atashi Krishna Namadina Bhave Grayam Indriyai Seva Mukhi Jivaras Vayam Eva Spuratyaraha. It says that actually devotional service starts from the tongue, right? So what do we do with the tongue? We take prasadam, we taste nice Krishna prasadam, and we chant the Lord's holy name. And by doing these things, we can actually get a taste of Krishna, right? It's quite interesting. And then it is said that when you chant at one point or other, when you always chant the holy names of the Lord, at one point you come to understand that actually the Lord is non-different from His holy names. And then gradually the Lord reveals Himself. But for this it is really important that we have faith, or we gain faith in devotional service by following the rules and regulations properly, by developing discipline, because this is what disciple means, right? First of all, means discipline. Not just, okay, today I like to get up for Mangala Arati, tomorrow maybe not, you know, let's see, you know. As we need to become steady and really show the Lord that we are actually sincere, we are willing to sacrifice for His pleasure. Of course, when we just do it mechanically, the effect will not be the same as when we do it for the pleasure of the Lord, you know. And we may even struggle internally, you know, sometimes. But anyway, if we just try it, then the Lord gives His mercy and we can still succeed in our endeavors. We again get some taste and some glimpse of Krishna consciousness. Another and maybe last point is the second last sentence in Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada says, everyone is acting according to his direction, to Krishna's direction, being under his superintendence. Previously we spoke about that Arjuna, he was told by Arjuna that you can simply be the instrument. And of course, now one may object that, but if I don't want to serve Krishna, then Krishna is okay with that. Krishna says, oh, okay, no problem, then you don't serve me. Then you do something else and forget me. If this is our desire, this is still our tiny independence that we have, which is nonetheless very significant, because if there would not be this independent aspect, how could there be an exchange of love, right? But even if we try to forget the Lord, we are still under the Lord's superintendence. But then, of course, under the rule, under the government of the material nature. But we can never be independent. So we have the choice. Either we suffer for Krishna and then enjoy real happiness, or we have to, take in the kicks of Maya Devi. She's also trying to help us to come closer to Krishna, of course, with her wonderful service, but it may not be as palatable as being kicked by Krishna directly. So, yeah. Okay, are there questions or comments? Everyone? Oh, yeah. 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 The universe. Yeah, I forgot it. Thank you, actually. Atmavan manyate jagat. Everybody thinks... And one another aspect is when we see or perceive or judge other persons or circumstances according to our position without communicating, you know, what actually goes on, as you're saying now, then first of all, the people that don't understand this, and maybe they will perceive us according to their frames, right? They think, oh, suddenly this person is against me, that doesn't greet me anymore, right? Because usually we tend, in our conditioned state of consciousness, we tend to think that, Hare Krishna, we are the center of the universe, right? So everything must be something, must have something to do with me. But it's not necessarily the case. If you just ask the person, but from my experience, I know that this is so, such a, it sounds so easy, right, to just ask, okay, Prabhu, how are you? And, you know, to express your mind. But from my experience, really, this is such a big issue to learn how to communicate properly, right, and be empathic. And even though we may, you know, train it, doesn't mean that everybody else is doing so. Then we have to still, you know, be even more accommodating and tolerant to, you know. Yeah, it's not so easy. But thank you very much. Wonderful contribution. I don't know. Can you explain this a little bit more? When we suffer from Krishna's kicks, why this is more palatable than when we suffer from Maya Devi's kicks? Well, I can try now to reflect on it. Well, first of all, Krishna's feet are lotus feet, right? And with whatever part of his body he touches someone, like we have the example of Dhruva Maharaj, who was puzzled when the Lord finally appeared before him, so the Lord touched him with his conch shell, you know. I don't know, maybe he even knocked him, you know, like, come on, you know, what are you standing there? But, you know, I mean, this is one aspect that by the touch of Lord Krishna, we become completely cleansed, purified. Whereas by the kicks of Maya Devi, not necessarily we become purified, right? We may continue to go into the same trap again and again and again. So, I mean, suffering has to be there, right? We very often hear that, okay, already prior to the birth, before the soul comes into the body, there's a specific amount of happiness and dukkha assigned to that particular soul, right? And it cannot be changed. No matter how hard we try to gain more money, you know, if the karma is restricted that, no, you don't, you won't get much, you know, then you won't get much, right? There will be always so many expenses, you know, sometimes the car breaks down more often, or, you know, somehow the heating costs, you know, get raised, or something, you know. And we may try our very best, but if this is not within our frame of destiny, we cannot get it anyway. But when we need to suffer from the kicks of Maya Devi, basically this is terrible. I remember from my own life before I came to the devotees, I felt that the life was so senseless, actually. I don't know if you have had maybe some similar experience, you know, but I mean, I came out of the school and you learn all these things, right, from history, social things and everything. And I was thinking, okay, but how can I now contribute to the society? And it's really actually kind of depressed because I figured that actually what can I do? You know, even if I want to become a writer, there will be editors, right? And somebody who will maybe not like what I write, you know, and still I'm dependent upon that person, right? or if I want to go into politics, maybe, you know, because I was thinking, oh, you know, this is a field where you could contribute. Right, discuss with people about what changes to make and everything. But even within politics, like in a democracy state, where everybody has the same voice and basically, you know, how many big changes can you make, you know? It's also very limited. And first of all, you have to surf, you know? You have to crawl on your feet and say, please, you know, make me a big man, a big woman, you know? And, you know, if you don't do it, you know, nobody will care for you. So basically, first of all, you have to, you know, this is how material world is working. And then even you may be able to climb up the ladder a little bit, still there are others who try to kick you down because this is material consciousness, right? Because they would like the post as well. So, but then when we have to suffer these kicks from Maya Devi through different agents, it does not necessarily entail that our spiritual consciousness becomes awakened. So we have to suffer and enjoy, but we can still decide how we deal with it, right? Even, let's say, if we have some immediate conflict with a person. Today also I had another one conflict with one person, and it was, again, this communication issue. So then I realized, what's the point, you know? The person doesn't get it, so why should I be affected by it, you know? Even though, of course, still, I did not 100% realize it. You know, I felt, you know, still it's not very nice from the person, but somehow my spiritual intelligence kept me going. No, actually, better you chant, you know, don't care. And just, you know, this is just some purification for you. You know, you can take it like that. So basically, we have the choice. We can be either reactive to the circumstances, persons or something, and in this way be a victim of everybody, and ultimately of our own mind, right, and false ego and senses, or we can become proactive and step back a little bit and understand through cultivating this transcendental knowledge, through strengthening the mind by chanting Hare Krishna, by associating with the devotees, eating only Krishna prasadam, you know, following the regulative principles and everything, then we can gain this internal strength to step back a little bit and observe us, right? And become gradually indifferent towards these difficulties. And then we can be even equipoised amidst happiness and distress. And this is exactly what Krishna says, right? 2.14, he says, Matras vashasukhauntiya shitoshna sukadukada agamapaya nunityas tangsitikshas vabhata. He says that the happiness and distress are like the summer and winter seasons, and they arise from sense perception, and ultimately one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So this is where we can gradually go by spiritual practice, but it doesn't fall from the sky. We have to endeavor for it and ask also the Lord's mercy. Was that okay? Do you have any further questions or comments? Okay, then we want to stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grand Hare Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Go back to Vrinda Ki Jai.